This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. This is Case Closed, your weekly hour of old-time radio crime, brought to you every Wednesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week comes from yours truly, Johnny Dollar. We'll hear the Perikoff Policy, episode from February 18th, 1949. After that, it's Jeff Regan, investigator, and The Man Who Liked the Mountains, his story from August 7th, 1948.
The Columbia Broadcasting System presents Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. The next half hour has its baggage packed to take a trip with America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, Johnny Dollar. At insurance investigation, he is just an expert. At making out his expense account, he is an absolute genius.
Expense account submitted by investigator Johnny Dollar to Home Office, East Coast Underwriters, Terminal Building, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of my expenditures in the investigation regarding the Perikoff policy for your company. Expense account item one. Plane fare to Benton, Ohio, $40.04. Item two, plane fare Benton back to Hartford, $40.04. Explanation, purchase two one-way tickets? Because of the type of case I'm usually assigned, I never press my luck by buying round trips. This time, I was almost right. Expense account item three, cab fare airport to Valley Hotel. $2.20. Tip the driver.
Gee, a dollar.
Naturally.
There'll be steak on the table tonight. Welcome to Warfare City.
Hey, Dorman.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you, sir?
Bring my bag inside, will you? Here.
A dollar.
Always.
All you need is a dollar and a fare.
Yeah, but does that mean you have to have a lot of strange people in the house?
Good evening, sir.
Hello. You have a reservation for Johnny Dollar?
Yes. Mr. Dollar's in his room. He checked in about 8 o'clock.
Huh? I guess I ain't the man I used to be. What room is he in?
Oh, sorry, sir. I'm not permitted to tell you that. I can phone him.
Oh, no, never mind. Let me have one of those envelopes, will you? I'd like to leave my card for this Mr. Dollar.
Yes. Here you are.
Thanks. Here, just pop this in his box. The clerk popped the envelope into box number 207, and I propped myself into an elevator going up to room 207. I'd come to Benton to investigate a murder, and in just a matter of minutes, I found myself ready to commit one.
Yes? Who is it?
A bellboy, sir. A package from Hartford.
Just a minute. Package for me?
Special delivery.
Shut up.
Come on. Get up on your feet.
Wait a minute. Take it easy. You must be Johnny Dollar.
Sometimes strangers in a hotel room can be a lot of fun, but not when they're using my name. What's your angle?
Listen, Dollar, I can explain everything.
It better be good and it better be fast.
I didn't want to be seen waiting for you in the lobby, and it's important that I talk with you before anybody else does. That's why I'm here. I'm Eric Barker.
Oh, defense attorney in this Perikoff thing, huh? Well, I hope you're better at defending your client than you are at defending yourself.
Whether my client goes to the chair or not, unfortunately, has nothing to do with my being a good lawyer. That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Well, I suppose this is one time when the attorney won't mind relinquishing the floor. Why don't you get up on your feet?
Yeah, thanks. I will. Now, look, I'm no coward, Dollar. But if either one of us is going to get any place on this case, we'll have to work together. Now, I need your help. And I need it badly.
I do a single act, sorry.
Now, don't be hasty. I can help you, too. Just how much do you know about the Perikoff murder?
All I know is it's one of the screwiest cases I've ever run into. All over the country, beneficiaries are knocking off insured people. But not here in Benton. Oh, no, here they tell the insured man, Harlan Wolf, knocked off his beneficiary and partner, Perikoff. And now I've got the jolly assignment of trying to keep the state from executing the insured man. My employer, East Coast Underwriters, isn't anxious to see $100,000 of their money burn up in the electric chair.
Well, at least we're both stuck with the same tough job.
Now, look, I'll tell you a few things I already know, and you fill it in from there. All I know is that Paracroft was shot to death, and that his business partner, your client, Harlan Wolf, was picked up leaving town and being held for the murder. What have they got against him?
Only what they found on him. That's enough. The murder weapon.
Any witnesses?
One. Parakoff's wife, Marcia. An eyewitness.
A murder weapon and an eyewitness. Well, it seems, at least at first glance anyway, that the state of Ohio will be receiving a large electric bill one day soon. Hey, is there any chance of my seeing Wolf?
No, not before he's indicted.
Great.
Dollar, Harlan Wolf shot Parakoff in self-defense. There was no premeditation. Well, I'm convinced that I could get him off with a second-degree manslaughter verdict if it weren't for the tactics of the prosecution.
What's that?
Well, they not only have intimidated my character witnesses, they've suborned their own to perjury. That's the sort of thing I'm up against.
Well, as the insurance companies keep on saying, never say die. See, where can I find the widow, Parakoff?
Well, if they aren't holding her in protective custody so nobody can question her, she may be at home. That's 1375 96th Street.
That's a lot of figures. By the way, how's hers? Expense account item 4, cab fare to home of murdered man and the girl he left behind him, $2.40. I shivered all the way out to the suburbs, but not from fear or anticipation. A simple case of summer shorts in red flannel weather. The Parakoff place was obviously the product of a good income and a bad architect. It looked like a great big wedding cake, and Mother Nature had mercifully iced the confection. The front walk was white and untrammeled as it was driven snow. As a matter of fact, that's what it was. 3 inches of it, which meant that Marcia hadn't had a visitor in the past couple of hours. I was playing detective, and somebody inside was playing the radio. So, I played Peeping Tom, and loved every second of it. I couldn't see her face, but she had a lovely profile. I hastened to the door. Wow, her hair was red and her eyes were green. Her hair stopped you cold and then her eyes gave you the go signal.
Yes?
Would you mind saving that yes for later?
I beg your pardon?
Well, I've come here to ask your help and I hope you'll say yes. My name is Johnny Dollar. I've been sent to Benton to investigate the death of your husband.
Well, why? Has this turned into a federal case?
No, I'm from the insurance company.
Oh, come in.
Thanks. Where can I put my coat? The snow will melt all over your carpet.
Let it melt. Just throw your coat any place.
Okay.
Good shot. Come on in by the fireplace. It's nice and warm.
I should have brought some chestnuts. I could have followed her with my eyes closed. She headed for the living room, leaving a pathway of perfumed air behind her, and I didn't waste a breath of it. That's nice perfume.
Sit down.
Thanks.
Hey, you have good taste. That chair is a genuine antique.
Oh? If you can stand a compliment before we get down to business, you certainly furnish a room.
Oh, most of the things are just reproductions.
Not the things I'm talking about.
Oh, you mean me.
Uh-huh. Well, this is a happy surprise. I expected to find someone fatter and fortier.
My husband was. And now, what about his insurance?
Oh, you got me wrong. See, I'm working for the company that insured the man being held for the murder of your husband, Harlan Wolf.
What do you want from me?
Just a story of what happened.
Oh, that I can't do. The district attorney had a long talk with me about it. I'm not supposed to say anything to anybody about it until the trial.
Well, I'm not asking you for any state secrets. I just want you to save me a trip down to the morgue.
Oh, don't be so brutal.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize you were still in mourning. That negligee confused me. Anyway, I'm at the newspaper morgue. That's what they call their files. You gave them a story. Why won't you give it to me?
I told you I can't.
Okay. Sorry I wasted your time.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't go.
Well, you aren't exactly cooperating.
Oh, please, sit down. I'm going crazy in this house alone all the time. Can't we find something else to talk about?
Sure. Later. First things first.
That makes sense. All right. I don't see how it could be wrong to tell you what's already been in the newspapers, Johnny.
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead.
All right. Well, Harlan Wolf and I were here in this room alone. We were discussing business.
Business?
Business. The Highland Coal Corporation. My husband was its president. Harlan Wolf is the secretary treasurer, and I'm the vice president.
I can't resist this. But your kind of businesswoman makes this anthracite heart of mine feel very bituminous.
What? I don't get it.
Let it go. So, you and Wolf were sitting here talking about your coal business. Where were you sitting?
Well, I was sitting over there at the desk.
How about Wolf?
He was sitting where you are right now. And then my husband came home.
And no doubt accused you and the secretary-treasurer of putting in too much overtime. Is that it?
Yes. Oh, it was terrible. They fought, and finally Harlan ran over to the couch over there and pulled his gun out of his overcoat pocket and started pulling the trigger.
Who called the police? The neighbors?
No. I did. Well, that's all there is to it.
That's all I wanted to know. That didn't hurt, did it?
No. Now, how about using those big shoulders of yours for throwing a log on the fire?
Sure. I'll go outside and get one.
No, there are logs in here.
Mm-mm. I'd rather go outside and get one that's a little damp. They burn much slower.
Oh. Well, then, while you're at it, get a big one.
I left Marcia gazing into the fire, called a cab, and stepped out into the cold night air to wait for it. I went down the front walk with my mind on what was behind me instead of what lay ahead.
Hey, Dollar!
Out of the white snow loomed two very large blue police uniforms, completely filled.
Get out of this Parakoff mess, Dollar. As a matter of fact, get out of this town.
Why, officer? I'm just beginning to like it here.
Look, this is from the top that makes it official. We've got the guilty man. We don't want any trouble.
Look, you go back to the top and tell them that this is one sure way of getting trouble.
They told us how to answer that one, too.
I did my best. My best to break every one of the Marquess of Queensbury rules. I know I was fighting a losing fight, but I was fighting for a little time. And that's all I got. A fist never stopped, and my head seemed to feel like a ping-pong ball in a four-handed game. Suddenly, things looked up. Me, flat on my back in the snow, seeing stars. Then a boot came flying toward my head and switched off all the pretty lights.
In just a minute, we'll bring you the second act of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. But first, we want to remind you that next Sunday night, CBS once more will bring you 10 great shows, filled with great stars and complete with comedy, drama, and mystery. Bette Davis will make her first appearance on The Prudential Hour, co-starring with Ray Milland in a gripping story of a woman who has to bridge a lifetime in 3 short hours. Once more, you'll hear those 90 nonstop minutes of mirth with Spike Jones, Jack Benny, and Amos and Andy in succession. There'll be more comedy, more drama following rapidly. The Adventures of Sam Spade, Lum and Abner, Helen Hayes, Eve Arden, Life with Luigi, It Pays to Be Ignorant. Staying tuned to CBS on Sunday nights guarantees you the greatest entertainment on the greatest listening night of all. These programs are regular Sunday night features on most of these same CBS stations. And, of course, Jack Benny comes to you over them all. And now, back to yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Continuing expense account submitted by Johnny Dollar to the Home Office, East Coast Underwriters, Terminal Building, Hartford, Connecticut. Expense account item 5, medical supplies, bonded, $7. Oh, and here's something I'll give you for free. A handy help for your regularly employed insurance investigators. When I find myself overwhelmed in a brawl with unknown assailants, cops included, I do my best to take away more than just bruises and contusions. During my career, I've picked more pockets than a rack boy in a pool room. And I added one more to the score during the brawl in front of the Parakoff house just before I went bye-bye in the snow.
Hey, mister, wake up. Come on, wake up. You'll catch your death of cold. Did you call a cab?
Yeah, I think so.
Holy smokes, your face. Was you robbed?
What's the matter? Isn't it there?
Huh? Here, I'll give you a hand. Thanks. Holy smoke. When I first seen you laying there, I thought you was a snowman tipped over. How do you feel, cold?
Forevermore, I shall look kindly upon the haddock in the deep freeze.
Huh? Hey, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for a wallet.
Did you lose it?
First I found it, then I lost it. Oh, yeah, here it is. Come on, let's get out of here.
Where to, mister? Police headquarters?
Police headquarters? Over my dead body. Expense account, item 6. Breakfast in bed, $2.40. Expense account, item 7. Photographic work, $6. For taking pictures of contents of wallet I lifted from the police uniform the night before. Expense account, item 8. 70 cents cab fare to office of Edmund Byron, district attorney.
Sorry to have kept you waiting, Bob.
Good heavens, Dan, your face. Felonious assault?
Yeah. Well, I got a flash for you. Not by person or persons unknown.
Splendid. You wish to prefer charges?
Yeah, half right again. But not for felonious assault and not against the guys who gave me this going over last night.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about. They were a couple of your harness bulls. I don't want you to waste any time denying it, so forget it.
I don't have the slightest idea what this is all about, Dollar.
I said forget it. I want to talk about something more important. You're holding Harlan Wolfe for the Parakoff murder. Now, what I want to know is, when are you going to hand down your indictment and what it's going to be?
First thing in the morning, first degree murder. Anything else you want to know before I have you thrown out of here?
Yeah. How do I get mixed up in these rhubarbs? Expense account, item 10, 5 cents. A phone call to my partner in despair, Eric Barker, attorney for the defense, who agreed to lend me a set of police photographs of the scene of the crime and the principals involved. Parakoff looked very dead. Marcia looked very frightened. And the accused, Harlan Wolfe, looked very fat. The pictures of the scene of the crime indicated the shooting occurred with Parakoff and Wolfe standing face to face, and that all of the bullets had gone banging straight into the right side of Parakoff's body. I set up an appointment to meet Barker at 3 that afternoon, and decided to make the most of the time in between by seeing what kind of a trade I could make on that wallet I'd picked up during the winter sports of the night before. The name in it was Ben Arnold, and the address was disreputable.
I don't want any brushes.
What a coincidence. I'm not selling any.
What do you want?
I'm looking for Ben Arnold.
Who isn't? He promised me he'd be home by now. By this time, I should know better.
Okay, I'll wait.
Outside.
Inside.
Hey, wait a minute. Ben won't like this.
Well, that makes it even. I don't like Ben.
Look, I don't want any trouble.
Okay, then don't make any trouble.
Well, what do you want here anyway?
Oh, let's just say I drop by for an unfriendly visit.
If Ben finds you here, it'll get real unfriendly. I'm warning you, get out of here. Ain't that face of yours marked up enough?
Well, that mouse hanging under your eye isn't exactly a beauty mark. Ben really spreads his blessings, doesn't he? Hey. Dad really spread one blessing right there close in front of me. It was a small room, about the size of a large closet, with the clothes sprawled high and low, making the whole place look like a collapsed clothesline. And there, hanging on the back of the door, was Ben Arnold's police uniform. My eyes popped out, pushed one of its shiny brass buttons, and rang the bell. There, like little brass love letters on the brass, stood the initials CPD. And CPD were never the initials of the Benton Police Department. Thanks for seeing me so quickly, Barker.
Dollar, you are a... Good Lord, what happened to your face?
A couple of police uniforms with overstuffed shoulders did this to me last night.
Oh, there you are. I warned you. We're up against a ruthless bunch. Something should be done about it. Why, using the police force to beat up anybody who stands in their way?
No, Barker. They were wearing uniforms, but they weren't police.
They what? Well, I'm afraid I don't follow you.
Barker, can you give me one good reason for a Benton cop to be wearing an out-of-town uniform? And don't tell me they got mixed up at the cleaners.
Out-of-town uniform?
Yeah, and here's another one. If the law enforcement setup here is so rotten, why would they go to all the trouble of dressing up an outsider to do their muscle work?
Well, I don't know.
What I mean is, did they?
Who else would do it? It certainly couldn't have been Marcia.
Why not? The policy I'm interested in is the one that Parakoff, as president of that coal company, took out on Wolf's life because of his importance to the company. That kind of policy is taken out every day. But Marcia, as vice president of that coal company,
is in line to collect on that policy if Wolf goes to the chair.
But why should Wolf admit to the shooting? He has nothing to gain. There's life to lose.
Now, look. Marcia told me that the night of the murder, she and Wolf were alone in the house talking about the coal business. And then she didn't know what I meant when I used the words bituminous and anthracite. Whatever Marcia had on the fire that night with Wolf, it wasn't coal.
No. Well, you're right about that. Marcia and Wolf were having some kind of romance.
Okay. So let's say Marcia shot her husband. Let's say Wolf is madly in love with her. Let's say she promises Wolf that she will testify he shot her husband in self-defense. Marcia gets away with murder, Wolf gets away with a light sentence or none at all, and then Wolf gets away with a girl. That makes sense.
Yeah, but what makes you think this is even possible?
Barker, somebody had me beat up last night. I say the prosecution wouldn't have bothered sending fake cops. So, the question is, who would? There's one thing I've got to check, and check fast.
Well, what's that?
Those police photos you gave me show that Parakoff was shot by a left-handed shooter.
And that's one of the prosecution's strongest points. Wolf was left-handed.
Well, that doesn't prove that Marcia isn't. Barker, I'm going out and see Mrs. Parker. Mrs. Parakoff. And there's only one thing I really hope.
That she's left-handed?
Uh-huh. That she's wearing that same negligee she had on last night. Hello, Marcia. Can I come in?
Why, Johnny, what happened to your face?
Oh, I didn't get down to the beauty parlor today.
You look like you've been fighting.
Uh-huh. Not too well, but wisely.
Well, come on in the other room. And, how about throwing another log on the fire?
Hey, you're a real little firebug, aren't you? You should have lived back in old Nero's time.
Whose time?
Never mind. I'll tell you what, I'll build the fire if you light it.
Well, I'd love to. Oh, you're getting a dry one from inside. Last night, you went all the way outside to get one that would burn for a long time.
Oh, that was last night. You got some paper?
Here's some.
There we are. Okay, hot point. Here's my lighter. Touch it off.
Okay. There, that'll do it. Come on. Sit down over here.
No, over here will do. This chair is a perfect fit for me. Which makes me think maybe the state of Ohio has a chair that's a perfect fit for you.
What are you talking about?
Well, if you want to play games, I'll read you the rules. You know, there's a big advantage in being on my side of investigation. Fellas in my racket have the benefit of a lot of experience. But murderers, well, almost everyone is inexperienced at that business. One moment they aren't murderers, the next moment they are.
Johnny, please.
Now, let's have a look at what's on my side. For instance, from the empty shell thrown off by an automatic pistol, the experts can get a better picture of a murder scene than they can from the witnesses. Your husband was killed by a gun that was held approximately 18 inches away and directly in front of him. And the bullets entered the right half of his body. That means he was killed by someone who shoots left-handed.
Harlan Wolf is left-handed. You can ask him. He'll tell you.
I know that. And so are you. Anybody who lights a cigarette lighter with your left hand is left-handed, which makes you a good candidate.
That doesn't prove anything.
No? No, I guess it doesn't. But this chair I'm sitting in does.
What do you mean?
Last night you told me Wolf was sitting in it when your husband came home. And that statement makes you a liar. Look, I'm trained down to the point where my belt is ready to sue my hips for non-support. And I can just get into this thing. And Wolf's picture shows that he's got a beam like the Queen Mary. He wasn't in this chair, which makes me think he wasn't even in this room when your husband was killed.
All right. So I'm a liar. That doesn't mean I'm a killer.
Marcia, investigators can make a lot of mistakes, but a murderer can only make one. And you've made a big one.
I tell you, I'm no murderer. You've got to believe me, Johnny. I'll tell you everything. You're right. Harlan Wolf wasn't here.
That's enough, Marcia. Shut up.
Eric, what are we going to do? He knows.
Keep quiet.
Well, Barker, a defense attorney, you're acting mighty offensive.
We'll have to get rid of him, Eric.
Just as soon as we get rid of something else. Dollar, you've only got one thing on me. Ben Arnold's wallet. And I want that. Now.
You're welcome to it, Barker. But it might interest you to know that I've had his picture taken this morning. Your phony policeman's wallet and everything in it. And copies are in the mail right now. The insurance company won't have any trouble connecting you with the comedy cops who beat me up last night.
You're bluffing.
Something else I've got on you, Barker. This morning, when I was lying in bed, counting the bumps on my head, it suddenly occurred to me that you were the only one who knew where I was going last night. So you must have been the one who had me roughed up. It also does my heart good to see you standing there with that gun in your left hand, which makes you a candidate, too.
Shoot him! Shoot him, Eric!
You're a lawyer, Barker. What's your legal opinion? Are you just an accessory after the fact or before the fact? Or are you the murderer?
What are you waiting for? Shoot him! Kill him, I tell you!
Shut up, Marsha! Dollar, stand still.
If you won't, I will. Give me that gun!
Marsha, look out!
When Marsha made a rush to grab the gun from Barker, she got between me and the gun, and I dove in behind her, arms straight out, picked her up, and heaved. Marsha went smashing into Barker, and I went in a frantic treasure hunt through that flailing mass of snorting, angry bodies to find the head that held the gun. Believe me, it was no place for a lady, but Marsha was no lady. I grabbed deep in between them and pushed Barker's gun hand up another go-round, and just to make sure the rest was strictly a fist fight, jammed my trigger finger in over his and pumped till all the shots went to the ceiling. The plaster was falling, it was like another fight in the snow. But this time, Johnny Dollar came up heads instead of tails.
Eric!
Come on, Barker.
Up you come.
And
down you go.
Oh, Eric.
All right, Marsha. All right. When I first met you last night, I asked you please to save a yes for later. I'm going to ask you a few little questions. If I'm right, let's hear it. One, did you kill your husband? Okay, two, did Eric Barker shoot your husband? Did you kill Harlan Wolf, tell him you did it, and talk him into taking this rap for you?
It was all Eric's idea. He said we'd get rid of my husband and Wolf and...
and collect their insurance. Well, Marsha, there's just one more question. Are you or aren't you going to call the district attorney and invite him over here?
Yes.
Expense account item 11. $12.40. That was lunch for the district attorney, who also turned out to be left-handed. And a very nice guy to boot. We had a lot in common. It was the first case either one of us had ever worked on where the defense had been working harder than the state to bring in a conviction. Also, that it was the first case where everybody on both sides turned out to be guilty. Defense attorney Eric Barker of murder, his girlfriend Marsha Parikoff of being an accessory before and after the fact, and Harlan Wolf of conspiracy to defraud. No wonder the nation's jails are getting overcrowded. Expense account item 12, $700. Side trip to Miami, Florida. Purpose, to recover from catching 40 winks and a miserable cold in Benton, Ohio snowbank.
Hey, Johnny, come on in. The water's fine.
Expense account total, $1,230.20. Signed, yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now a word about a special CBS broadcast this Sunday. You'll find it a story that grips you for a full 60 minutes on the air. A startling drama of a young reporter who finds that his assignment comes too close to home. A revelation of disturbing facts about our mental hospitals based on actual documented reports and 6 months of intensive study and preparation. With Eddie Albert starring as the young reporter, this tale of a mind in the shadow comes to you by popular demand in a repeat performance next Sunday over most of these same CBS stations. Be sure to hear Mind in the Shadow next Sunday at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. Listen in again. again next week when CBS brings you Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, with Charles Russell as Johnny. Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar is written by Paul Dudley and Gil Dowd, with music by Mark Warnow, and is produced and directed by Richard Sandville for CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
My name's Jeff Regan. I get 10 a day in expenses from a detective bureau run by a guy named Lyon, Anthony J. Lyon. They call me the Lion's Eye.
With Jack Webb starred as Jeff Regan, investigator, stand by for trouble, suspense, and adventure in tonight's story of the man who liked the mountain.
This is the way it started. It was about 6 o'clock last Monday night. I was home cooling myself off when the phone began jumping around on top of the desk.
Jeff?
Mm-hmm?
This is Melody. Mr. Lyon calling.
I'm out. You can't find me.
That's no attitude. Here he is.
Hey, Melody.
Regan, I got a job for you to do.
You can tell me all about it tomorrow morning. So long.
Now, wait a minute. It's got to be taken care of now, tonight.
Look, I worked hard all day. I'm tired.
I told you
get somebody
there
else.
In 15 minutes. Now take this down. Office in Taft Building, right by your place. He's an attorney. Name of Collins Knight.
Collins Knight? What rock did you look under for him?
And don't be smart just because the guy serves a little time once.
And gets himself disbarred and re-entered and tied up with every piece of gambling from here to Reno.
I'm not interested in who they are, what they've done, as long as they can pay the bills. And Collins Knight is just the baby who can do it. So hop over there and find out what's what. And call me if you run into any trouble.
Collins Knight, attorney at law, Taft Building. Turned out to be a medium-sized man, about 50, in a loud tan sport coat and black and white polka-dot tie. The good tailoring on his shoulders didn't cover up that 45-year-old stomach, but it didn't seem to bother him. He smiled when I walked in his office, pulled out a bottle of bonded stuff and a couple of tall glasses.
Sit down, Regan. Make yourself comfortable. Say when.
When?
I'm a four-finger man, too. Yeah. Here's to you. Cigar?
I don't use them.
You don't mind if I do. Yeah. Now then, I asked you to come here because I want you to find Big Ed Kittredge for me. Been missing 3 days, according to his wife.
From pictures I've seen of Big Ed, he'd be a hard man to miss.
Yeah, I figure the same way, Regan, but he's been gone for 3 days, and I think someone's either cooled him off or he's lammed.
Why do you think somebody cooled him?
Man like Big Ed's bound to have a lot of enemies, for one reason or another.
Why do you think he lammed?
For one reason or another.
Friend or enemy?
Neither. I just know the guy. One of my people. I handle a couple of things for him. His wife is worried about him.
I didn't know people like Big Ed had wives.
Well, they do. At least Ed does, and a darn cute little girl she is. Inez. Yes, very pretty little girl.
Tell me about him.
He's gone.
What about his wife? Where did he meet her? When did he marry her? I gotta have something.
I don't know.
Well, I'll have to see her.
Okay, see her.
You don't much care whether I find Big Ed or not, do you?
Nope.
Thanks for the drink.
You don't like me, do you, Regan?
Nope.
Well, most people don't. So long, Shamus. Keep in touch.
The name on the door said Mr. and Mrs. Edward Kittredge. It was a clean door in a clean hall with a nice new carpet on the third floor of an apartment house over on Franklin. I figured $100 and up for a bachelor. She was pretty. Red hair, the mahogany kind. Green eyes. 24, maybe. But she could look 16, just coming off the beach and wearing those gold sandals.
Yes?
Miss Kittredge?
Hi, my name's Kittredge.
My name's Regan. I'm a private detective. Collins Knight hired me. He said your husband's missing.
Oh, come in, Mr. Regan.
I told him I'd want to talk to you. Okay if I sit down?
Oh, of course. I'm sorry, Mr. Regan.
Can you tell me anything about him? His friends? Business?
You ever heard of Big Ed Kittredge?
Oh, yeah, he's been around. Makes the papers now and then.
You know what kind of friends he might have.
What about his business?
I love Mr. Regan. I was hopping cars in Glendale 3 years ago. The movie contract they brought me out from Iowa to keep wasn't anything more than a lot of talk. And I had to eat. One day, a big man came in. I waited on him.
Big Ed?
Yeah. After that, he kept coming in. I began going out with him. When he asked me to marry him, I married him. I didn't ask him what he did for a living or how he spent his time. He was good to me. He's always been good to me. Now he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been gone more than 5 hours since we were married. He gave me everything, done everything for me.
And you don't ask questions.
And I don't ask questions. But there's one thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, a partner here, a man named Axman, was here 2 nights ago. That was the night Ed left. He'd never come back.
Axman?
Yeah. They was in the kitchen. I was in the bedroom. I thought I heard him quarrel, and when he came out, Axman had his hat in his hand. He was leaving. Ed went with him.
Mm-hmm. That it?
Well, yeah, that's it. I ain't seen him since then. Think anything's happened to him? You think he's all right?
I think you ought to tell me the truth.
What?
All the pictures I seen in the paper of Big Ed Kittredge of a big man with a pipe in his face. I don't see any pipe racks around here, but I see where they might have been.
Why, you...
And if I went to that closet, I bet I wouldn't find any of Ed's clothes around here either. Now, come on. Tell me about that argument.
All right, you win, Peter. The same thing we've been arguing about for 3 years. He drinks too much. He plays the horses too much. And besides, he socked me.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
I finally got fed up. Told him to get out.
Only now you want him back. Why?
Just long enough to serve him some divorce papers and get a property settlement.
I thought it'd be something like that.
Oh, no, wait a minute, Ring. Wait a minute. About Axman, I wasn't lying. He hates Ed, even if they are partners. Something from the old days. Axman walked in when Ed and me was having our knockdown. He saw it all. If he wanted to bump it, he could do it. Somehow he'd fix it so it looked like I'd done it. He's the kind.
You think he'd make a good witness?
Yeah. Axman's a smart guy. It's the doorman and the clerk downstairs. They heard Ed and me arguing. We get kind of loud. I might have said something about killing Ed. Sure make me look sick if Ed turned up dead somewhere.
Yeah, it would.
You gonna help me?
I'm already hired, lady.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks. Sorry, I put on that act.
You're pretty good. Wrong prop, that's all. I'd try that studio again if I were you.
Yeah? They're a bunch of slobs. They wouldn't give no gal a break.
Maybe you're right.
You ain't bad for a peeper. When this is all over, let's you and me have a drink somewhere, something, huh?
Yeah, something.
I'd like to meet a nice guy. A real nice guy, just one. Just one.
Two minutes later, in front of the apartment house, I was lighting a cigarette and thinking over what Inez Kittredge had just told me when a soft hand belonging to the soft arm, body, and face of a little thug I knew named Louis Pacheco settled on my arm.
Regan. Regan.
All right, punk, what is it?
I've been waiting for you, Regan. Been with Big Ed's wife, huh? Nice dish, huh? I seen it. I got some business with you, Regan.
Yeah?
Yeah. You're looking for Big Ed Kittredge, ain't you?
Maybe.
Yeah, then I could tell you something that'll help.
All right, go on, tell me.
Now, without you giving me something from the trouble.
How much can you tell me?
Maybe what Big Ed is.
Okay, 5.
I'll tell somebody else.
Suit yourself, punk.
Wait a minute, Regan.
Well?
He shagged up the mountain town, yeah. Has a place up there called Hideaway. And not many people know about it, not even his wife. Yeah. He went up with a guy named Axman 3 days ago. Ed's got some slot machines and stuff like that up around there.
That all?
Yeah, that's enough for you, Gumshoe.
Okay. Here.
Hey. Keep it. I don't need your lousy sawbuck. Keep it, you chiseling cheapskate. Cheapskate.
I don't care what kind of people are involved. I told you that before, and I'm telling you again. If they play rough, let them do it, just so we get paid.
All right, fatso, then get yourself somebody else to take over. I quit.
No, just a minute, Regan, just a minute. Let's not fly off the handle about this thing. Now, be hasty.
There are a bunch of bums, and you know it.
Well, Now, perhaps I was a bit indiscreet accepting a client like Collins Knight, with his reputation and all that.
It isn't only him. It's the man I'm supposed to find and his friend Axman and anybody else who knows him.
Now, Jeffrey, I'm sure that a man of your talent could locate Ed Kittredge without any trouble. After all, Jeffrey, you've dealt with people like this before and always handled it admirably. Very admirably.
I don't like it. Knight hires me to find Big Ed Kittredge. Only he doesn't care whether I find him or not. Big Ed's wife only wants to find him so she can slap a court order on him, and both of them tell me that Big Ed might be dead.
Well, now let's not jump at their conclusions, Jeffrey. I'll have to admit the whole thing looks fishy. Jeffrey, I want you to find Big Ed Kittredge as soon as you can.
Look, I just told you that I
don't... I know, but the fact of the matter is, I have an agreement with Knight in writing.
You have
what? And you know what kind of a man he is. He's very tricky. He could close International if we don't stay on this case. If you don't stay on the case.
Okay, you win.
Mm-mm. Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you.
Expenses?
Of course, of course.
I have to drive up to Mountain Town. I might find Big Ed up there.
Of course. Be careful, Jeffrey. Be careful and...
Oh, don't give me that phony line about calling you.
Now, Regan.
Yeah?
Call me if you run into any trouble.
How far to Mountain Town?
You're here, Pilgrim.
Hmm?
This is it. That black place over there is the lake. And that black place over there is the town. Cabins round the lake, no one round the town. Fill her up?
Yeah, fill her up. Where can I get some coffee? I've been driving half the night.
30 feet to your right and inside the door. Janie will fix you up. We're open all night.
Thanks.
No trouble? No trouble at all?
You better look at that oil.
Glad to.
Tires and water.
Glad to.
You can move it if you want to. I'll be in getting coffee.
Don't worry. Don't get enough business at 1 a.m. to stay open. I'm going to talk to the boss about it someday.
Hey. Hey.
Hi, dearie. I'm coming. Why do you want to hit the counter like that for? Well, I thought you was Eve. I didn't know it was a customer.
Who's Eve?
Him. Eve Holton that runs the station. What's yours?
What's my what?
Name.
Well, as long as we're being formal, it's Regan. Jeff Regan. Oh, you're Janie.
Well, say, how'd you know that?
Eve.
He told you. Well, say.
How about some coffee, Janie?
Huh? Oh, sure. You been traveling far, Mr. Regan?
From Los Angeles.
Going far?
Right here.
This dump. You don't tell me you're going to be here this summer.
Little while?
Well, say. I'm off in an hour. I got a little cabin on the other side of the lake.
Well, that's nice. Do much fishing?
Fishing? You're cute.
Yes, I am. No, thanks. I'll take it black.
Oh, what you going to do here?
Look for a man.
Yeah? Say, what man?
You might be able to help me, Janie. Cottage called Hideaway. Man named Kittredge.
Big Ed Kittredge, you a friend of his?
Car's all ready, Pilgrim.
Thanks.
Janie, don't you think you ought to go see how the fire's doing?
Hmm? What fire?
Make one.
All right, Eve, all right. Do you think that the girl takes a job slinging hay chests to listen to a lot of baloney from
interviews? Janie's too friendly.
I like friendly people. Keep the car here, will you?
Hmm?
I'm looking for a hideaway cottage. I don't see any road going around the lake there. I guess I'll have to hoof it.
Hideaway?
Hmm?
East shore of the lake. About half a mile from here. Now, you're right, there's no road. You'll have to walk.
Thanks.
Don't mention it, Pilgrim. Don't mention it.
Well, the cottage turned out to be an all-white, phony log cabin affair. I pounded on the door. Nobody answered. There was a sick kind of oil lamp burning inside, so I pounded on the door some more, and some more people didn't answer. When I put my hand on the latch, the door opened, people or no people, so I went in. Well, you can believe this or not, but somebody was there, right in front of the fireplace, only he was dead. And one whole side of his head was dark and shiny. It was still warm. Nope, you're wrong. It wasn't Big Ed Kittredge. This was a man I'd never seen before in my life.
We'll return to Jeff Regan, investigator, in just a moment. An easy way to save for future security is by a payroll deduction of savings bonds. If you are not paid on a salary basis, you can purchase savings bonds at your nearest post office, bank, or savings and loan association office. Now is the time to ask your employer to start deducting for savings bonds or to buy a bond on your own. If no other plan is feasible, your bank will deduct enough each month from your savings or checking account to buy a savings bond. For money in the future, buy United States savings bonds. You'll be glad you did. And now, back to the story of the man who liked the mountain and Jeff Regan, investigator.
Well, I stood there and looked at what was left of whoever he was. Wasn't anything in his pockets. Labels, cut off his suit, no laundry marks. Then I began looking around for a poker or a hammer or something. What I found was a heavy piece of kindling wood. One end of it was stained. Then I heard somebody come in the door. I saw striped overalls, flashlight, and 45 Colt revolver held by E. Holden. He looked at the dead man, looked at me, looked at the piece of wood in my hand.
Dead.
Yeah.
Friend of yours?
Never saw him before in my life.
I did.
Yeah?
Name's Axman. Tom Axman. Friend of Big Ed Kittredge.
Friend?
Why'd you kill him? I'll just take your gun. Safer this way.
You always wrap a gun in a handkerchief?
Only when I want to keep fingerprints on it. Evidence.
So it's that way.
It's that way.
You kill him?
You did. There was a big fight. You conked him with that piece of wood, then shot him in the head. I saw it.
My gun, my bullets, it's pretty neat. But he was still killed with this.
Who's going to be able to tell?
A good coroner?
We got a lousy coroner up here. He don't know from nothing.
That makes me the fall guy.
You're it, Pilgrim. Let's go find ourselves a cop.
Eve waved his gun at me, and I started ahead of him for the door. Oh, he was good at doing frame-ups, and he was good at running things, but he was only an amateur when it came to pushing a man with a gun. I waited to feel it in my back. By the time I got to the door, it was there, and that was his mistake. I shoved him up against the wall, but he didn't drop the gun. Before he could do anything, I was running for the black place that he told me was the lake.
Come back here, Regan! Come back here!
I ran till I was out of breath.
But who's there?
Take it easy, Jane. It's me.
Oh, Mr. Regan, it's you. Hey, listen, Eve's looking everywhere for you.
I know.
He says you killed a man, Tom Axman, over in Kittredge's cabin.
I know.
But you didn't kill him. I know that.
Yeah?
Come on, we can't talk here. Someone will see us. This is my place. Boy, I got some things to tell you, Mr. Regan. I don't like this place, and I don't like Eve Holden. I don't like anything that's been going on. You got to get out of here. Get out fast. Come on in. Look, I quit my job tonight. I didn't want to get mixed up in any of this.
Any of what?
This killing and... Gee, I don't know what all. Oh, I better pull the curtain. Someone might see you in here. This is a scary place.
You say you know I didn't kill Axman. How?
Well, I've been working in Mountain Town a couple of weeks now, and I've seen a lot of screwy things.
Like what?
Like Eve Holden. He works for Big Ed Kittredge. And Big Ed ain't no saint.
Have you seen Big Ed?
He drove up a couple of nights with that Tom Axman. I think Ed killed him.
Yeah?
They'd been drinking a lot, and they both talked kind of loud to Eve. And Big Ed and Axman went over to the cabin. I didn't think anything of it till they didn't show up for something to eat the next morning. Ain't nothing to eat in that cabin.
That helps, Janie. Go on.
Well, Eve's been going up around that mountain, taking a look every day, for no reason at all.
Yeah, sure he has. Only he isn't looking at the mountain.
Scared. Look, Mr. my jalopy's out and back from filling station. Take me with you. I'll tell everything I heard and seen, and we can let some cops figure out all that. Hey, what's that?
It was a hand firing a gun at her. It figured to be my gun. I hit the oil lamp and went down to the floor. Then I heard somebody outside on the porch. I crawled in the dark till I found a wall and a window. It wouldn't open, so I took half of it with me.
Hey, what is this?
Come here, you. Now, look, punk. I just drove 85 miles in 100 minutes. 7 o'clock in the morning, and I haven't been to bed all night. I saw one dead man and one woman made dead.
Easy on that stuff, Regan.
And some of your playmates up at Mountain Town trying to make sure that I get hooked with it.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, start talking, punk.
Wait a minute. What do you want me to say? I don't know nothing about no stiffs and no Mountain Town.
All right. When somebody like you comes sidling up to me and tells me where to find my man and doesn't take $5 for it, that means he's already got dough.
That's Regan, I...
And they only give you dough for work.
Gee whiz, Regan, you know I wouldn't mix up in no killing. I can't stand that kind of thing.
Punk, who paid you to tell me to go to Mountain Town? Who paid you to send me up there and make a patsy out of me?
Let go, let go. I'll tell you, Regan. I'll tell you. It was Knight, the lawyer. Yeah, Collins Knight. He slipped me 50 to pay you and give you the dope.
Knight, I might have known. Go on.
That's all. Honest, that's all there is to it. I... Tell you over to Big Ed's apartment. You talk to his wife, and you know the rest.
And I tell you why?
You know I never ask any questions. I just do what I get paid for. Nobody ever let me in on something big. I didn't know it was no frame.
Okay, punk.
Listen, if Knight ever finds out, I told you.
Shut up.
What are you going to do?
Hi, Regan. Hard night, huh?
He made me tell him. He made me tell him it's tonight.
Sure, Regan. Don't worry about it. I got up early, Regan. Kind of figured you'd be looking up the punk here. He phoned from Mountain Town, said you lammed out on him twice. You're a pretty tough boy, aren't you? Here, punk. Huh? Buy yourself something and forget you ever saw Regan, okay?
Oh, sure, Mr. Knight, sure.
Okay, Regan, let's get going. Got a long drive ahead of us.
I'll be able to drive it blindfolded someday.
Someday.
I'm still your patsy.
Mm-hmm. I take you back there, and we call a cop. Now, come on. Heath will be getting anxious.
Well, you can't say I didn't find my man. Even if I did find him sitting in that same cabin with a couple of corpses on the floor. Big Ed Kittredge. He needed a shave. He was sitting there looking at Ackman's body and Janie. I guess Heath had brought her over from her place. Heath was there, too, holding my gun against Big Ed's back. Was still wrapped in that handkerchief.
Knight, I thought you'd never get here. Come on, let's get this over with.
Now, don't be nervous, Heath. Ed, I want you to meet Jeff Regan. He killed you. Hiya, Bill. You're the fall guy, huh? Tough luck.
When'd you find him?
Well, I said I'd find him at the punk.
Still using my gun to kill people?
Not quite finished, Pilgrim. Two down, one to go. Very easy to figure.
I'm next, huh? Yeah. Sorry, Ed. It has to be business. Me and Ethan will take over where you and Axman leave off.
Hey, Bo, we're going to let him rub me out and pin all this on you? We're going to do something about it.
Take it easy, Ed.
I think we ought to do something about it.
Watch him, Ethan. Me too.
Big Ed was good. He stopped the first two slugs from Ethan's gun and the first two out of Knight. By that time, I got a hold of a poker and I brought it into Knight's face. He looked kind of sick and went down without a sound. When I looked around, Big Ed was twisting the gun from Eve's hand.
Oh, Ed.
Blood pouring from four holes in his chest.
Well, it ain't so easy as that, huh? Guess the frame won't work now.
Where's your phone around here? I'll get you a doc.
Well, Sawbone's gonna help me save yourself the trouble. I never knew they burned like this. What's your name, Bo?
Regan. I'm a private detective with International.
Oh? Lion's still run that dump?
Yeah, he does.
Old bomb, ain't he? Knight, hire you to find me?
Yeah.
He's real tricky. Well, they ain't making a patsy out of you, anyhow. Look, Regan, I done you a favor. Fix a deal for me, will you?
Sure, Ed, sure.
I got a wife named Inez.
Met her.
Pretty, huh? Look, tell her I wasn't sore. I didn't really leave. I just came up here to let her cool off. I kind of like the mountain. That's why I had a place.
Sure, I'll tell her.
Oh, this is a bunk, ain't it? Regan.
I'm here, Ed.
You found me, huh?
Yeah, I
found you. Yeah, Lyons, $2 says Lyons won't give you no bonus for it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, I called the sheriff, who had a face like a boiled beet. He listened to the whole thing, and then we kind of pieced it out together. You see, the day I got there, Big Ed killed Axeman. I guess they got into some kind of an argument, and Ed picked up a piece of kindling wood. About that time, Eve Holton showed up and saw what had happened, and he figured he had something. Oh, he pulled a gun on Ed and stuck him in a cellar somewhere. Then he phoned Knight down in Los Angeles. It was a good chance for Knight and Eve to take over, so they figured to kill Ed and get a fall guy for both murders. That was me. Didn't come out quite that way. Eve had to kill Janie, too. All with my gun. You know the rest. Oh, Lion cashed Knight's check. He was happy.
Hey, that sheriff up there's going to call you for the coroner's inquest this afternoon.
Yeah, I know.
Technical charge of manslaughter. Yeah, they'll clear you in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
So Big Ed liked the mountain, did he? Imagine that big crook. Hey, where you going? Remember, you got to be up in Mountain Town this afternoon.
I'll be there. I got to go over and see Big Ed's wife first. He asked me to tell her something.
Big Ed's wife?
That's right.
Forget it, Regan. She's glad he's dead, same as everybody else.
I'm going over to see Big Ed's wife.
Why do you want to go sticking your nose back into it?
Because Ed was dying and he asked me to do it.
Lots of guys ask for lots of screwy things when they're dying. They wouldn't bring them up unless they were sure they didn't have to stick around and see what had happened. Make sense?
Makes sense.
Where are you going?
Over to see Big Ed's wife.
At no time in our nation's history has it been more important to develop an outstanding Army Medical Department. Without an adequate nurse corps, this can't be accomplished. And nurses are still needed to fill the estimated requirements for 1948. If you are a graduate, registered nurse, over 21 and under 45, you're invited to apply for a commission in the Army Nurse Corps Reserve. If you are selected, you may choose either active duty or inactive status. Apply to the Adjutant General, Washington 25, D.C. Jack Webb is starred as Jeff Regan, with Wilms Herbert as Anthony J. Lyon. It's CBS same time next week for hard-boiled action and mystery with Jeff Regan, Investigator. Also heard on tonight's program was Jeff Chandler, Betty Lou Gerson, Edgar Barrier, William Conrad, Sidney Miller, and Lorette Philbrand. Jeff Regan Investigator is written by E. Jack Newman, produced and directed by Sterling Tracy, with original music by Dick Arant. If you like mystery, here find that clue with Mystery Master Ken Crossan quizzing the top mystery writers of Hollywood and a special guest this Monday night over most of these same CBS stations. Here find that clue Monday night 8:30 over most of these stations with Sirhan Bey. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's it for Case Closed this week. I hope you enjoyed the shows this time around. And find more from Johnny Dollar, Jeff Regan, Case Closed, and all the other Relic Radio shows at the website, relicradio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is there, and if you'd like to donate, you can do that through the website. We've got some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts, though any amount, always appreciated. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next week with Mystery Is My Hobby and Inspector Thorne on another episode of Case Closed.